Uncle Charlie came to visit the family. And the oldest boy, Steve, had been going to Sunday school, and Uncle Charlie, being interested in the young man's religious upbringing, said, "So you've been going to Sunday school? What have you been learning?" And the boy said, "Well, last week we learned about the time that Jesus turned water into wine." And Uncle Charlie said, "Well, that's pretty cool. What did you learn from that?" And the little boy said that if you're going to have a wedding, invite Jesus. Yeah. It's a pretty profound bit of advice. It was a good thing to have Jesus at this wedding ceremony. Indeed, it was good to have Jesus everywhere that is of significance in our lives. And weddings are certainly a significant experience. I'm looking forward to the next several months. I have at least one wedding every month between now and the end of the year. And it's exciting because you get to engage people and families and young couples. It's a wonderful thing. But the gospel story today talks about how this wine ran out at this wedding and how Mary asked Jesus to do something about it. And he does something about it. And it ends with these words. Listen to these words again. "This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed in Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him." He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. The Gospel of John speaks so often about signs that lead to a deeper faith. Signs, as you all know, leads to something. For those with eyes to see, how many of you have a GPS that seems like it's tattooed to your arm because you can't go to Publix without turning on your GPS? I know, we all do that. It's great. But there are still people who, when you say, "Where do you live?" they say, "Well, you go down to so-and-so, and you got to read the sign up the top of it, and you got to go." You know, we read these signs because they get us someplace. When you're in the store and you're looking for something, I'd love to go to Publix and watch people trying to find something, you know, and they're up there scanning it, you know. And I know where everything is at Publix. I hang out there so much. And I'm like, "Can I help you?" And then, "Do you work here?" "Yeah, sometimes, yeah. But they point to something. They testify these miracles, these signs in the gospel, to something that is great. And it is this greater thing that we are meant to grasp, and not simply the sign itself. Don't get tripped up about how the water was changed into wine. It really doesn't matter. What matters is the water was changed into wine. I love to have debates with people about Jesus walking on the water. And they want to know, "Well, how did he do it?" And like, do I look like a scientist? I don't know how he did it. But the issue is not how did he do it, but that he did it. What a sign. What does it point to? Some of you, do you remember the movie Signs? Mel Gibson was in it. How many of you remember that movie? Yeah, it was a terrible movie. I mean, there were parts of it that were just, I mean, blatantly ridiculous. I'll give you just the hint of how this thing plays out. And if you haven't seen it, you can go home and waste a couple hours. But anyway, Mel Gibson plays a Lutheran pastor. And his wife is pinned against a tree in the beginning of the movie, and she's going to die. And she tells him some things that he does not understand. And the area, crop circles, these crop circles have been showing up, and people are, what's going on? Well, an alien invasion occurs. Now, here's the stupid part, because all of these, and no reason anybody could tell why they were here, they were snatching people up. What did they do with them? We don't know. But they came all these millions and millions and millions of miles, and nobody brought a weapon. None of the aliens had weapons, and they didn't even bring raincoats because they were allergic to water. It was it's crazy. But if you were watching the movie about signs, what you missed was the sign of God's presence that was in that wife who was telling her husband, "These are things that are going to happen. If you," and in a sense, trying to tell him, "If you listen to this and you do this, our children will be safe." And he doesn't understand it until the very end of the movie. And even the first time that I, first and second, okay, it's a terrible movie. I've seen it three times, but I get it. But it's just, it's one of those things. But the signs of this movie were not the crop circles. It was not the alien invasion or any of that kind of stuff. The signs were simply God's caring for those children and telling her husband what to do when the time gets where they're in serious trouble. So I recommend, if nothing, that's probably why I like it. Because it's not about the signs in the cornfields, it's about God. God's presence, God's power. It's an amazing thing. Signs can be like that. We can have them, though, in front of our face. We can have them right there and miss them. Drive right by, not even pay any attention. God's signs of his presence, they, I believe, are all around us. As God's children, God has been giving us signs, showing us his presence, showing us his presence among us in so many different ways. All around us, signs of God's glory. The sky, the water, the earth itself, people, you and me, all of this, we are all signs of God's presence in this world. And in our gospel lesson, there's this unique sign of God's glory through Jesus Christ. Whatever happened in this story, the wine ran out. Nobody talks about why or anything like that. It's somewhat irrelevant. And they needed something. The water at that time was not really great to drink, so wine was preferred to do it. But it ran out. And Mary, being a friend of the family, found out, and depending on her son, Jesus, her eldest, that she goes to him with this problem. They've run out of wine. And his response on the surface, it seems kind of abrupt, doesn't it? You know, maybe even a little bit rude, but it really isn't, because the English doesn't translate in this scripture very well, the Greek or the Aramaic. So I don't know what Mary thought Jesus could do, but to find some sort of a solution, maybe go up to the store, buy some wine, or substitute something else. But she turned to Jesus for help, and Jesus answered, "A woman, what have I to do with you? What does that have to do with me? My hour has not yet come," which is a strange response, but on further examination, the word woman is translated better lady or dear woman, or a sign of respect, a sign of honor. And the rest can better be translated, "Don't worry, you don't quite understand what is going on here. Leave things to me, and I will settle it." So Jesus takes the problem in hand. John says that it was one of the first signs of Jesus' power. You might wonder, why this sign? Why did Jesus do this? Surely running out of wine was really not that big of a deal. Sure, it was embarrassing. It was a difficult situation for the community gathered together. But Jesus, I think, thought that this was a good way of showing people that he cared about people, cared enough to supply more wine for a celebration. Jesus was a friend, a neighbor, someone who was invited to the wedding, and so he cared enough to help. I think it was a good way for Jesus to show his disciples his compassion as well. This was the first sign, but as we see in the Gospels, it was certainly not the last sign. His signs went from changing water to wine to healing people. His signs went from changing water to wine to calming a sea to raising someone from the dead. His signs went from changing water to wine to curing a sick girl on her deathbed. His signs went from changing water into wine to raising from the dead. And as John wrote, this is the first of many signs Jesus used to help the disciples, the people, to believe in his mission, his purpose on earth. Just as Jesus changes water into wine, he came to change people, to make them purer and holy and acceptable to God. And those signs of God's presence that changes and redeems us all are still with us. And today, we celebrate communion. This is one of the great signs of the church. That bread and that juice is bread and juice. Guess where it came from? Publix. That's right. I'm not actually sure about that, but I'll check. But you see, what it is something that is common, but it's a sign that leads us to something far greater than that. We should never confuse the sign with where it goes, what it is representing for us. The bread, the juice, our baptism, our sermons, our scripture readings, our anthems, all of these are signs. When we gather there in the center and we shake hands with people, it's a sign, a smile, a forgiving embrace are all signs of God's presence with us as God continues to show us signs of his love. A pastor tells this really great story, and let me read it to you. The Church of the Savior in Washington, they understood the power of God's signs among them. He wrote, a girl named Meg came to the church one Sunday morning, and she listened intently to the sermon, sang with joy the hymns, and began to feel a happiness and a purpose in her life, which she had not felt there before. Something inside of her, something had led her to that church that morning. And after the service, the people greeted her and welcomed her, and she learned that they were interested in her as a person. They learned that she was living a life of alcoholism and prostitution, and her marriage to her war veteran husband was falling apart so much that her husband had attempted suicide. And the people, some of whom had been in the same situation, began to care and to work with her. Some helped her with her drinking problems. Some listened to her and her husband as they worked through their marriage difficulties. Others helped Meg get a job, and others helped the husband become rehabilitated from his war wounds. In time, Meg's life and her husband's were changed, transformed, redeemed, and rescued from the brokenness of this world. And Meg said later, at first I thought these people were crazy. And then I didn't care what they were. I suddenly just wanted to be like them. A sign brought her to that church. A sign led those people to look at her as a sign. And so the people of that church reached out and were the people of God. These people had a direction. They had a purpose in life. They knew what God wanted them to do, simply to love one another. And Meg caught that. She caught that spirit, wanted to have some of it for herself. God's signs among us do give our lives direction and purpose. And as Jesus is the sign of God's love in this world, he asks us to do the same thing. There are signs all around us of people that are reaching out to one another with a sign of God's love. Jesus changed water into wine. Jesus can change you. Last night, Deborah and I had an opportunity to go to the Jacksonville Jazz Fest. Did you ever, any of you go? No, because we got home at 2 in the morning, so it's okay. It was really, really great. But the headliner, and I don't know this music well. I mean, well, Deborah grew up on all of that. I was listening to Mozart and stuff like that. So whenever I go to the Jazz Fest, I love the music, but I never know who it is that's singing. Or somebody say, oh, I can't believe so-and-so's going to be here. And I'm like, okay, I don't know who that is. But it's always great, and I love it. So it's really wonderful. But in the middle of her set, the headliner last night, she used to sing and play with Prince. So apparently she's a big deal. And she was magnificent. But she gave her testimony. Now, it wasn't this heavy-duty testimony of she just said, I give it all to God. I give it up to him, and I rely on God for everything in my life. It was simple. It was comfortable. And she even had us do this most peculiar thing in one of her songs that had to do with love, because they all have to do with that somehow. She said, now, turn to the person. It's going to feel weird. Turn to the person next to you or around you and tell them that you love them. Everybody did it. And people were weeping. It was an amazing thing to see. It was a sign to me, because I'm thinking about this sermon last night, because the music was good, but I still think, still working, And I thought, oh my goodness, that is exactly a sign to people who don't know God's love, people that are there that don't know other people's love, and that sign touched them. It really was difficult for some people to turn around to a complete stranger. And we had three people there. One is a concert promoter. He was pretty cool. He gave me 2 free tickets for a concert next 4th of July and stuff. It was really. But we had no idea who we were, other people were. But what a great sign that God gave to us at that moment. And we do that here. We do it, I think it happens quite often when we do that holy bedlam in the middle of it. But I also think it happens as you walk out of the church and you reach out to other people as you do so. It's an amazing thing. Jesus can change people. He changes us from people who are sinners into people who are redeemed. He changes us from people who are self-centered to people who care about other people around us. So let me close with a story. I love this story. 2 men, both of them seriously ill, were in the same hospital room. One man was allowed to sit up in his bed for 1 hour each afternoon to help drain the fluid from his lungs. And his bed was next to the room's only window. The other man had to spend all of his time flat on his back. The men talked for hours, and they spoke of their families and their friends and their homes, their jobs, their involvement in the military, where they had been on vacation from time to time. And every afternoon, when the man in the bed by the window was allowed to sit up, he would pass the time by describing what he was seeing out the window. It was a real blessing, and the man in the other bed began to live for those one-hour intervals where he could get a little glimpse of the outside world, a little bit of the activity and color of that world. And the window overlooked a park with a lovely lake, the man said, and ducks and geese were playing on the water while children were sailing little model boats, and lovers were walking arm in arm with flowers, and every color of the rainbow were everywhere, and grand old trees graced the landscape, and a beautiful view of the city skyline could be seen. And as the man by the window described all of this in exquisite detail, the man on the other side of the room would just close his eyes and imagine what that looked like. And one warm afternoon, the man by the window described a parade passing by. And although the other man couldn't hear the band, he could see it in his mind as the gentleman by the window portrayed it with descriptive words. It was a wonderful thing. But one morning, the day nurse came and to bring water for their baths. And when she found the man by the window, he had passed. And she was saddened. She called the hospital attendants to take him away. No worry, no fuss. And as soon as it seemed like it was appropriate, the other man said, "Well, you know, since he's not going to be at that window, can I go over there?" And she said, "I think we can make that." And so she pushed his bed over by the window and left him alone. And slowly and really painfully, he tried to get up so he could look out the window and look at this beautiful world that had filled his life for 1 hour every day for such a long time. And as he looked out the window, it was a blank wall. The man next to the window used his gift of imagination to help relieve the boredom and the stress of his roommate. That's what we're here to do. And Jesus is the one that helps us to do that. You know, this is not a place, this is particularly helpful on a day when we have communion, because nobody takes communion by yourself. I mean, the word itself means communion, community. And so we are in this together too. If it takes, you know, describing things out the window, that works, but whatever it is. Our old friend, Fred Craddock, I met him several times. He was a Methodist teacher of preachers, a remarkable man, only about this tall, and wrote all of his notes out with a pencil on a legal pad, all of his sermons for all his years. It's amazing. But he said that you should condense everything in a sermon into one sentence. That was the heart of what he would say to his pupils, drawing, of course, as he preached from all the research done during the week. But find that one sentence. And it didn't take too much wrestling for me to figure out what this whole scripture passage was about. It's simply, this Jesus is something. This Jesus is something. Has the wine run out in your life? Has the joy of your faith somehow gone away? Is your life like those jars just sitting around empty? Surely one of the lessons of this wonderful story can be that the best is yet to come, because this Jesus is something. When we invite Jesus into our stories, the ordinary becomes extraordinary, and we will be rejuvenated as we have never been before. There's an ancient account about a priest who was pulled over by a state trooper, and he had been weaving all over the road, and the trooper was pretty friendly, but he said, So, Father, what have you been doing? And he looked down, and he saw that there was a thermos, and he said, what's in that thermos? And the priest said, "Oh, it's just some water. Let me see it." And he opened it up, and he says, "Father, this is wine." And the father said, "Praise Jesus, he's done it again." I know, you know, that is such an old joke, but I had to throw it in there. Make sure you're still awake, you know? Make sure you didn't miss it. But don't miss the point of this, that this Jesus that invites you to this table, this is something. This Jesus has changed, the sign of changing water into wine is really not all that big a deal when he can change you, because that's what's really important, into a person that you were, into the person that Jesus would have you be. So has the wine in your life run out? Remember, this Jesus is something. This Jesus is something, and he can do it again. He can do it again. Let us pray. Our Father, we are merely vessels that hold on to that which we have, and you call us to change what is on the inside of our vessels, to turn from water into wine, to turn from whatever we were into what you would have us to be. And the signs that you give us to do so are all around us in this place. As we listen to the music, as we hear the words, as we partake of the bread and the juice, all of this, signs of your power and your presence. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.